we finished Thursday in speaking about being brought under the hand of the Holy Spirit, how that we literally, as being born again, should come under the hand of the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Ghost is the one that comes to teach us, to lead and guide us by His Spirit, and how He desires to bring us into full conformity to the person of Christ. Now, as we come under the hand of the Holy Spirit in the school of Christ, as we come under that hand, if you weren't here last week, once again, we're going to move on slowly but surely. This class will move very slow. We will overlap. We will repeat. One of the greatest tools of learning is to repeat, to overlap, and slowly but surely to move forth. And so I would encourage you to go back from last week, possibly get the tape once again, or so you can catch up to where we're at. But as we come under the hand of the Holy Spirit, we talked about Thursday in detail. He shows us in detail, in a very comprehensive way, the person of Christ. Now, that's the object. That's the heart of God's thought. When He brings a person that's born again into the school of Christ, the object of His heart, His divine thought, is that His Son pleased Him. And He wants to bring us into a place where He can show us in detail the person of Jesus Christ. This man that so loved us, that He gave His life for us, that He was crucified and buried. This man that so loved us, yet in our sins, the Holy Spirit wants to show us that person. Now, this is not by happen chance. It doesn't matter what you see others do or what you see others not do. By the Word of God, each person can determine. Now, I can choose this morning to say that I know 10 people that refuse to grow and mature and to see Christ. It does not change what the Bible says. It does not alter the fact that I can choose to want to know this man that loved me enough to die for me. So we can choose. By the leading of the Spirit, we can choose to want to come under the hand of the Holy Spirit. And as we do, He will show us in detail. That is the office, the workings of the Holy Ghost. He will show us in detail the person of Christ. The Holy Spirit presents to us the object of that which we have to learn. And we said that same phrase. It's in the book. The object of that which we have to learn. Once again, not learn about Him, but learn Christ. So we come under the hand of the Holy Spirit, and He begins to show us the person of Christ. Now, He does all this, and this is where we stopped last week. He does all this that He might conform us to that which pleases God. And we said that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, God looked down and spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the Holy Ghost comes and shows us the person of Christ, that He begins to do an inward work to conform us to Christ. There is no such thing as a person being born again and embracing the Holy Spirit and staying a child. There's no such thing as a person embracing the Holy Spirit and continually just drinking milk, because the Holy Spirit will begin to show you the person of Christ, but then He begins to conform you to Christ. You need to always stay as a child. You once were a child and you act like a child, but you put aside childish things. In the natural, that's so true. I look at most of you here today. We have one young man here, and most of us are adults. All of us are adults. Well, you don't play with the things you used to play with. You don't say the things you used to say as a child when you're 6, 8, 10 years of age. You're an adult in the natural. That law is as real in the spiritual, if not more so, than it is in the natural. Now, I can line up 100 people, possibly, that's not matured, but there's something wrong with their Christianity. It's not in Jesus. It's not in the Holy Ghost. But that doesn't make me want to use them as an excuse not to embrace the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to conform me to the person of Jesus Christ. So, as we come into the school of Christ, He begins to show us the person of Christ, and then He begins to conform us. And we're going to get into that this morning in detail. He's going to conform us or mold us and make us into the image of Christ. So let's do just a quick review and show you what we've learned so far. Number one, if you don't have this wrote down, we'll first of all call disciples. To come into the school of Christ, we first of all must be called disciples. We must be born again. There is no such thing as being in the school of Christ. We may be in church, we may read the Bible, we may sing the songs. But to come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, we must first of all be born again. And let me just read it to you. You know the scripture very well. I would encourage you to write this down. I encourage you to go home and read John 3 again, verses 1 through 21. Read John 3, verses 1 through 21. But listen to John 3. Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was a rabbi and a teacher. He was a very quote-unquote religious man. He knew the word. He knew the law. He taught the law. And yet Jesus came to this man, And in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, and that puts the emphasis, verily, verily, there is to emphasize. It puts an exclamation point upon what he's about to say. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, we are born again, and I won't go through all this, but we are born again as when we are lost, the grace of God comes to a man that is lost. The grace of God begins to stir his heart or give him a desire to want to know about Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts that person. You can't be saved except the Holy Ghost draw you. The Holy Ghost will begin to deal with the person and convict them of their sin of rejecting Jesus. And when that person, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, drawn by the Holy Spirit, we do not do this, and this is no reflection on you that are in the programs, but we do not come to Jesus to get off of drugs. We do not come to Christ to get our marriages put together. We do not come to Christ to get things fixed. That is not being born again. That is not being saved. We don't come to Christ because we have a hard time, and He's going to make a hard time better. We come to Christ the one way. The Holy Ghost convicts us that we are a sinner apart from God. We are sinners to Jesus. We have rejected Him. And the Holy Ghost convicts us of that sin. Not the sin of all the alcohol and all the drugs. That's just a manifestation of the heart problem. Amen. That's all that is. Many people don't do drugs, but they're just as lost as those that do. So that's just a manifestation. We're saved when we're convicted of our sins, convinced we are a sinner, and then convinced that the only one that can save us is the person of Jesus Christ through His shed blood. We're not saved by works, lest any man should boast. So, the first thing that He teaches us in the school of Christ, or the first place we must come, is that we must be born again. And then Brother Sparks talks about that we are those disciples, and the Word of God teaches it very readily that we are to be called disciples. When you get born again, you become a disciple of Jesus. Now, disciples simply means those that come under what? Discipline. Okay? If we get born again, we become disciples. Disciples in any category. I mean, let's just put religion aside. Let's put the kingdom of God aside. Many religions have disciples. And they are disciplined to the guidelines and to the regulations, et cetera, of their religion. You can take many of the Eastern occults, and they have disciples, and they come under strict scrutiny to the very teachings of their gurus, etc., etc. They are disciples, be it yoga and all the things we could talk about. They become disciples, and they're disciplined under the things that that particular religion teaches. So we as Christians, as born-again Christians, are to be disciples. We come under discipline. The discipline of the Holy Spirit, the discipline of the Holy Spirit is what we come under. Now, do we come under the discipline of do's and don'ts and the law? No, we come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Now get that, because we're going to really drive that home today, okay? To be conformed, and that's where we were at Thursday, to be conformed to Jesus Christ, we must come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. And when you get born again, that is a part of your salvation. You're called disciples. Those that are disciplined. Now, are you with me now? Very simply, we must be what? Born again. When we get born again, what do we become? Disciples? Amen? Are you with me? And if you're disciples, you become those that are disciplined. Now, what do we come under? The hand of who? Whose hand do we come under? Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is going to teach us, show us who? Jesus. About Him? No, we're going to know Him. We're going to come under His hand. And as we begin to know Him, He begins to conform us to the person of Jesus Christ. Now, turn to Galatians 5. Now, we're going to really expound this morning a little bit upon this part about discipline. And then we'll move on. Galatians 5. About coming under the hand of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, listen very carefully. If we are going to be conformed to Christ, we must walk in the Spirit. We must come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. If we are going to be conformed to Christ, and notice what I said, if we are going to be conformed to Christ. I didn't say if we're going to come to church. I didn't say if we're just going to read our Bibles. Many people do those things, and you watch them over the years, and this is the thing you ought to guard against. This is the thing you ought to say, Lord, I refuse to live my life the way I'm about to explain. You have seen people that have come to church year after year after year after year. And for the most part, they're the same now as they were 5 years ago. They still sing, they still shed the tears, but there's no maturity, no growth. You do not see them taking on the characteristics of Christ in their daily lives. Not talking about just in church now. Anybody can come to church and the music's prime just right and we can get in and everybody shout. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about in your daily walk. Has it carried over into your daily life and how you handle yourself and how you handle problems and how you handle situations and how you respond one to another? Doesn't matter if 10,000 choose not to be disciplined. The Bible teaches us that we can choose to be disciplined and come under the hand of the Holy Ghost. Now, if we are going to be conformed to Jesus, if we're going to take on His nature, and that's what a Christian should desire to do, take on the nature of Christ. If we are going to be conformed to Christ, then we must come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Are you with me now? You'll never be conformed to Christ apart from walking in the Spirit. Now, let's read Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then. Notice Paul said, in Galatians it's talking about what started in the Spirit ended in the flesh. That's what the book speaks about. So here we're at Galatians 5. Now, are you with me? I'm going to take my time here. If we're going to be conformed to Christ, we must do what? What are we going to walk in? The Spirit. Are we going to be conformed to Christ if we walk in our way? Are we going to be conformed to Christ if we walk in our own understanding? Are we going to be conformed to Christ if we walk in the flesh? Can we still come to church and walk in the flesh? Can we still come to church and walk in our own understanding? Can we still shout and walk in our own understanding? But what happens over the months and years, you do not see that person conform to be like Christ was. But the Holy Ghost will lead and teach and conform us if we come under His hand and are led by the Spirit. You will not stay a babe too long. Just exactly the amount of time that God ordained for you to stay a babe is how long you'll stay. But you'll drink milk the exact time God ordained for you to drink milk, and then He'll start giving you the meat of the Word because you've grown. Now, here we go. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. What did He say? Walk in the Spirit. And notice these next words. These are strong words. Walk in the Spirit, and here is the results. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's simply saying those that walk in the Spirit shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if, in fact, we can reverse that, if you are fulfilling the lust of the flesh, means you are not walking in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Now, do you read that in your Bible? Is that what He's saying? If we walk in the Spirit, we might once in a great while, we might sometimes. It might be, the Holy Spirit will... If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Okay? For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. We all know there's a battle within. Those that are saved, there's a battle that rages. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Okay, you're not under the law. You're not under the law of the do's and don'ts. And we're going to touch on that. Now, so He's simply saying, if I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the Holy Spirit in the school of Christ comes that we can get under His hand. He begins to show us Christ, that pleases God. And then He begins to conform us to that which He has shown us. And if we walk in the Spirit, the promptings of the Spirit, then as we approach these areas of lust, we hear the prompting of the Spirit say no. It's just that simple. That's why I don't need a list of do's and don'ts on the wall, because as I walk in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, just like this, don't do that, don't do that, every single time. He never misses a time, never, if you're a child of God. Now, turn to James. Let me show you something else. James. I'm a little ahead of myself, but turn to James. James chapter 1. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not do what? Somebody tell me. Say it out loud. Benjamin? You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Over the years, I have probably heard more from many Christians about the lust of the flesh than I have the fruits of the Spirit. It's getting quiet. I hear much talk about the lust of this, the lust of that, the lust of the other. And I hear very little talk about the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. Where the Bible says if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted that I am tempted of God. God never, ever tempts a man. He never put something in front of you to test you that is sin. He never does that. If a man tells you that, he does not know the Word of God. He never tempts any man. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man with evil. Never does that. He never used the evil in your life to tempt and to draw. Never. He won't do that. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The lust that draws you away is your own. It's not somewhere else, it's own. But he said if you walk in the Spirit, when that war that's in you starts to rise up and that lust starts to rise up, the Holy Ghost will check you every single time. Then it's up to you which one you obey. Do you obey the prompting of the Spirit or do you obey the lust of the flesh? Okay? If you obey the lust of the flesh, this is what happens. When lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Okay? So if we're going to be conformed, we must come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you here, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you here, and you know you're born again, you're here and you know there's areas in your life that you started walking down and you felt that inner witness. That prompt, you don't have to raise your hand, but that prompting of the Holy Ghost within you said, this is not right. This is not right. Every time you heeded that, you were being led of the Spirit. But every time you did not, what happens is you were not led of the Spirit, you weren't walking in the Spirit, and you were being conformed not to Christ, but that lust began to start to conceive in your heart. And you weren't growing. You will not grow, and you'll stay a child in that area the rest of your life until, and that sin will eventually bring forth death. Now, you understand? Are you with me? Okay. Now, Romans 7:6. Don't turn there, but Romans 7:6 says this, that we serve under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. We serve under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. In other words, we should serve the Lord in obedience, in discipline, to the promptings of the Holy Ghost. Jesus sent back a gift that will prompt us. Are you with me? He will prompt us. As we walk, He will prompt us. He will check us. Now listen, the Spirit of God is in those that are born again. Period. You can't be saved apart from the Spirit of God living inside of you. You cannot be born again. So what I'm saying is to those that are born again, that one that whose hand we come under, that one that gives us those promptings, that one that gives us that check, that one that gives us this witness is not somewhere in the eon of ages or in some faraway heaven that we can't hardly reach or hear or get to. He lives within us. He's there as a witness that we are the sons of God. And He's there as a witness to check us in every way that we walk that's not proper. He will check us every single time. As we choose to come under His discipline and to walk in the Spirit, there comes that inner witness. As you approach these things that are the lust of the flesh, in other words, you're walking with the Lord, and as you approach those things, be they anger and the things we're going to read about in a few minutes, whatever it may be, slothfulness is not a characteristic of Christ. Amen. Slothfulness is not a characteristic of Christ. Overindulging is not a characteristic of Christ. And I promise you, this is good news. This is excellent news. But the reason many times people get bothered when we start down this road is because they look at their lives and they start to realize that they're not walking in the Spirit. Because they see overindulgence, they see slothfulness, they see indifference, they see lukewarmness that are not the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. But thank God the Holy Ghost has not left you. He's still there endeavoring. But saints, listen, the Holy Ghost does not always strive with men. And so if there's overindulgence, if you're walking in and you're a Christian, and there's things in your life that you overindulge in, or let's say you're slothful, I promise you by the Word that you don't have to go get a book somewhere and try to figure out when you're walking in overindulgence. You haven't got to be intellectual and have to read every book that you can find on overindulgence or slothfulness to try to find, to learn, to make sure you don't. That's what he means is when he says we're not under the law. We don't have to worry about this and worry about that. And, well, I don't understand it, so therefore I don't know what's right or what's wrong. No, ma'am. If you are walking in the Spirit and you begin to walk down an area in your life that you're overindulgent or you are slothful, just using those examples, I promise you that when you start down that road, the Holy Ghost will check you just like that. And what happens, many people go down that road, the Holy Ghost checks them about being overindulgent, and I could say in a lot of things, and I won't name them out, and they get that check, but they say, no, I want to overindulge my flesh. And they live their lives that way. And what they did, instead of going by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, they walk in the dictates of their flesh. Slothfulness, for one. God does not intend for any of His children to be slothful. We should be like the ants, not sluggards, but like the ant, Proverbs teaches. The ant's busy about the Father's business. I don't mean busy in your own strength and your own works, but if you are slothful, I promise you by the Word that as you start walking in that area of slothfulness, the Holy Ghost, you may not understand all about slothfulness, the law of slothfulness, but the Holy Ghost will check a Brother Leon or a Pastor Danny and say, brother, you're getting slothful right here. Now, what am I going to follow? Am I going to obey him or my flesh? It's just that simple. That's Christianity at its simplest point. That's Christianity. And we should walk in the Spirit. And every time, I'll say it again, every time we start to walk down a path that's not like Christ, because what is the Holy Ghost trying to do? Conform us to who? Jesus. And every time we start to walk down that path that's not like Christ, He'll check us. And we'll learn His voice and we'll learn how to adhere and to obey Him. That's good news. That's good news this morning. That's exciting to know that I can become saved and there's something within me, not some book I got to study and get all the A's and B's together, but there's something that lives inside of me that will prompt me, that will stir me, that will speak to me, that will say, don't walk down this road, brother. Don't go down here. This is the wrong path. Every time, if you're saved, you get that inner witness. Every single time. And it's a matter of who we choose. Isn't that good news to know that there's something that lives inside of us, the Holy Spirit, that will teach us how to be like Christ? Every time. Prompted in what you should do or what you should not do. This is the school of Christ. If we're going to be conformed, prompted in what you should do or what you should not do. That's why we do not need to live under the law. We don't need a list of do's and don'ts. And I'm not talking about guidelines in a program. I'm talking about the do's and don'ts that we don't have to have a list of do's and don'ts because the Holy Ghost says don't. The Holy Ghost says do. The Holy Ghost says don't. The Holy Ghost says do. But see, when people are not truly saved, not truly born again, and they come into the kingdom of God, they have a hard time following the leading of something that's not within them. And then they try to get into do's and don'ts and live their life by certain regulations. And it's hard, it's depressive, it's heavy, it's an old cross that beats them down, but it's not a spirit of the newness of life. Okay? That make any sense? Are you with me now? Have I gone too fast? Everybody with me? Is that simple Christianity? You get saved, Holy Ghost gets inside of you, shows you Jesus, and says, well, ain't you ready to move on now? Yes, sir, I'm ready to move on. Well, let's get down to business now. Let's start to make you like Christ. How are you going to do that, Holy Ghost? Well, everywhere you walk, I'll be an inner witness, and everything you start to walk down that's not like Jesus that I'm trying to conform you to, I'm going to give you a check and an inner witness. And there's times it can be a still, small voice, and there's times He'll hit you just like that. Why? Because He hates you? No, because He loves you. He couldn't get your attention any other way, so He kind of jars you to wake you up. You ever had Him to jar you? That's because He loves you. That's because He couldn't get your attention. And it kind of jars you. That's why so many times, and you know, some of you not going to hear this, but that's why many times He has to bring trials in our lives. Because we came to church, not every time. So don't look around and say, well, that person's in a trial because they were a bad person. I'm not painting that picture. But the Lord does allow things to come in people's lives to get their attention. Period. And it's taught all through the Word of God. Does he do that because he's mad at me, that he hates me? No, I'd rather choose to believe he does it because he loves me. And rather than just let me keep walking down a blind alley and run off into a cliff somewhere, he says, let me grab you, put that stop sign in front of you, sit you down long enough that I can get your attention. Amen? Okay, now, let me give you an example. It's not a spiritual example, but let me give you an example of what the Holy Ghost does. He prompts us. He prompts us. That's what he does. He in the, by the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the inner witness. A prompter. You know what a prompter is? Anybody know what a prompter is? The word prompter. In our layman's terms, in a secular term, somebody tell me what a prompter is. Rick?
Reminder.
What?
Reminder.
Very good. Reminder. Okay, someone else. That's exactly right. A prompter. Give me an illustration. Give me an example. Okay. Give me an example of a prompter. Anybody give me an example of what a prompter is?
In a play.
There you go. Say it. Go ahead. In a play, what? Exactly. All right. A prompter in a play, he's the one who stands behind the screen, behind the curtain, to assist the actor or the performer when they forget their words. So if you can see this, if we had a play, if you're a children's play somewhere in your house and you were playing with your children and they had parts and you had a little curtain. And so as mama stands behind that curtain and daughter forgets her part, mama whispers that part. She whispers. So she reminds her, she assists her and so that she don't forget her words. The Holy Spirit will be your prompter. Are you with me? He's your prompter. As you walk through life and you're walking down the road and you forget what you ought to do and you forget how you ought to act, you forget what you ought to, how you ought to be, the Holy Ghost will find you. He'll speak to you. Boy, we ought to thank God for that prompter. And it's not for a few. Now, are you going to choose to listen to the prompter? If I'm in a play and the prompter's behind the curtain and I miss my part and I forget and that person behind the curtain says that sentence, am I going to be obstinate and rebellious and say, no, I'm not going to say it that way. I'm going to do it my way. That's what we do when we don't follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. And I could line them up today and it brings me no joy, but I could line them up today around this church and walk right down the road. And I'm not speaking about anybody that's here, that they had opportunity after opportunity to listen to the prompter behind the curtain and they chose to do their own thing and they're not serving God today. They chose to walk in the lust of their flesh and they're not serving God today. Now, does God make it hard? No. The prompter behind the curtain don't make it hard. Benjamin forgot his part. He don't knock the curtain down, come out with a ball bat, hit him in the face. Amen. He whispers, Benjamin, here's the part you missed. And he speaks to Benjamin. The people out in the audience never hear the prompter. Benjamin hears the prompter. And Benjamin has studied his part. And probably most of the time when that prompter says just one word, he picks up on the rest of the sentence. You ever had that happen? He just gives you one word. Oh, that's it. And you say it. That's what the Holy Ghost will do to you because you've read the Bible. You've been in church. You know what's right and wrong anyhow. You know. And you start down the road. The Holy Ghost says, and you say, oh, I know. And you back right off. That's the prompter. Isn't that good? The problem is, the reason a lot of times we don't get excited about that is we start to see that we hear the prompter, but we don't obey the prompter. We still want to do it our way. The Holy Spirit will be your prompter. Now, turn back to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Everybody with me? Everybody right on? Everybody with me now? No problems? I know I'm hanging with this, but I want you to get this. This is the prompter. The Holy Ghost is our prompter. That's why we don't live under the law. We live in the life of the Spirit of Christ. Letter of the Spirit. He said, I do nothing. What did Jesus say? I do nothing and I say nothing save I see or hear my Father do it first. He was the first of many born. He was led of his Father. We are led of the Holy Spirit. As we see, hear, and him do, that's what we do. That makes it simple. Your little child comes up to the oven and she don't know that oven's hot. Mother says, don't touch the oven. It's hot. Just that simple. Amen. That's all it is. The Holy Ghost does the same thing. Charlie, don't go this way. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Lord. And every time he says yes, sir, he's being conformed to the image of Christ. Every time. And there's an inner working that's going on in his life. Every time that Charlie says No, I'll do it my way. He don't grow, and he begins to fulfill the lust of his flesh, which eventually conceives, brings forth death. And that's what happens to every person that strays away from God. Every time. I don't care who they are. They may tell you that my problem was this. Nobody understood me. God did. Oh, you, this one did that, and that one did the other. No, God didn't do anything. Holy Ghost never forsook you. He was right there to conform you to the person of Christ. The whole world could turn against me today and half the church. No excuse. Holy Ghost lives inside of me and he'll teach me, lead me, guide me, and I can still be conformed to the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's good news. That's good news. Now, let me show you the fruits. Let's look at the fruits. Let's look at these fruits now. Now, which one do you want? Here it is. If we're going to be, are we going to walk in the Spirit? Are we going to fulfill the lust of the flesh? Galatians 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. And when are they manifest? When we don't walk in the Spirit. When you don't walk in the Spirit, here's what's manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. And idolatry is not just some god in somebody's house of stone. Idolatry can be family, can be a lot of things. A lot of things people worship that have as idols that they put before God. Idolatry, witchcraft, which is nothing more than rebellion and stubbornness, hatred, not loving your brother as you ought to. That'll be in your life. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, which is nothing more than jealousy. Murders, what's murders? When I shoot somebody? No, with my mouth, with my eyes, I murder people. Drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you, and every one of those, if you carry them out into their English language, into what they really mean, let me tell you something. There's a lot of these things that the hatred is not just, we ministered a message a few weeks ago that hatred has a lot of variances. A lot of variances in hatred, okay? These are the things of the flesh. And I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I didn't write that, did the Holy Ghost inspired Paul to. He said, you walk in that, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's the fulfillment of what? The flesh. And how do we fulfill the flesh? When we don't walk in the Spirit. How do we not walk in the Spirit? When that Spirit prompts us and we don't take heed. Overindulgence, lasciviousness, slothfulness, jealousies, envies, murmurings, gossip, loose talk. All those things are works of the flesh. And you could take this and tear it apart. And I'm telling you, you will see a lot of what happens in churches right there in verses 18, 19, and 20. You see that in people's homes. You see that in people's lives. Now, we're not talking about perfection where we never have any problems, where we never make a mistake. I'm not talking about that. I'll tell you that's how they live their lives. That's who they are. Jealousies, backbiting, slothfulness, indifference, this, that, the other. We can just go down the line. It's because they're not walking in the Spirit. If they're born again. Now, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. If we walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against it because we walk in the Spirit. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us walk in the Spirit. That's what happens to us when we come into the school of Christ from day one. And as you grow and mature, you begin to learn more and more the voice of the Spirit. You take heed, you grow, and you begin to mature. You begin to come into the full measure of Christ. You become that mature Christian. Now, they were first of all called disciples. And that's what we just talked to you about, discipline. You come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit. You're taught to walk in the Spirit, to be led of the Spirit, and not led of your flesh. Those that walk in the Spirit are the sons of God. And if you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not do what? Somebody tell me. Out loud. If you walk in the Spirit, ye shall not do what? Shall not. Thank God there's a shall not. If we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. That gives me hope. The Holy Ghost. I don't have to walk in my flesh. I can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of my flesh. Now that's what God wants to teach you, especially you that are, well, all of us, but you that are young in the Lord, that's why you need to grab a hold of this now. You don't need to look back 5 years from now, like I've seen many people in 5 years in the Lord, 10 years in the Lord, and they're still babes. They're not grown. They still have the same personality traits they've always had. But that's not the way God wants you to be. He wants you to grow up, amen. He wants you to mature, be a strong man or woman of God. Now, am I going too fast? Everybody with me? I know I'm overlapping, but I want you to get this. Now, we're first of all called disciples, and why? Well, Brother Sparks talks about Mark 3:14, that they might be with him and that he might send them forth. And we're called disciples that we might be with him, conformed, and then he sends us out as witnesses that we can tell others about Christ. And they begin to see others through us. And I was telling one of the brothers last night to call me about witnessing someone. And I've told many others like this. There comes a time when we speak it, but more than not, we just live it. And they see it in us and through us. And then the Holy Ghost will check us to speak a word. But the greatest witness is that just living that daily life to be like Christ. They see you trying to live like the Lord as you follow the Holy Ghost. So we've learned so far that we, first of all, are called disciples, must be born again, and we come under, if we're disciples, we must come under that hand. I just went through that. Second thing was Jesus was determined to bring these disciples into the school. Number two, Jesus was determined. On our part, the Holy Ghost is determined to bring us into this school. And the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed the world, the same Holy Ghost that overshadowed Mary, is the same Holy Ghost that says to Anthony, I am determined to bring you into this school. So it's not by happen chance, hope so, maybe so, by some whim of emotions. The Holy Ghost says, I'm bringing Rick into this school. And Rick says, yes. Amen. Third thing. The Holy Spirit's first objective is to acquaint us with what is in view. The Holy Spirit's first objective is to acquaint us when He brings us into school. His first objective is to acquaint us with what is in view in our spiritual education. Very simply, what I'm saying is He begins to show us Jesus. All right? We've taught that. And number four. Now, here's where we're at. And the part about coming under the discipline, you had to see that very closely, that we can get into this thing here today, next 15, 20 minutes. The fourth thing is He now begins to get to work to conform us to Christ. But we first of all had to be under that hand of discipline. We have to learn to walk in the Spirit. Amen? To come under, to be conformed, we'll never be conformed. That's why you see people be babes the rest of their life, because they've never been conformed. And most of them, after a while, they get tired of religion, tired of just going to church, not growing. They don't see much in this Christianity, and they stray away and stop going to church and go back to doing some of the things they used to do because they didn't grow. But if you embrace the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit, you find your life starting to change. You start to be conformed to Christ. You see your daily walk starting to change and be like Jesus Christ. So His work is, first of all, to get... Then He begins to go to work to conform us to the person of Jesus Christ. And He quoted the scripture there, Romans 8:29, which says, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. He foreknew us, and He's predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So God has determined for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. And as we come under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, as we begin to walk in the Spirit, this is the next thing He begins to do in the school of Christ. He begins to conform us. We begin to take on His nature, His character. Thank God. Thank God we begin to take on His nature and His character. Now, let's read in the book real quick on page 9. Look at the top there where it says, whom He foreknew, He also foreordained to be conformed to the image of His Son, Romans 8:29. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, conform to the image of His Son. So He shows us the Son who pleases God. Then He says, I want to start conforming Hector and Tim to that pleases Me. This is the presentation, the attestation, the declaration of divine purpose. This is His divine purpose. Therefore, I repeat, the Holy Spirit's first object is to acquaint us with what is in view in our spiritual education, namely that He is to reveal Christ in us, and then afterward to get to work to conform us to Christ, to start conforming us to Christ. Now, that's where we're at in the school. conforming us to Jesus Christ. It means simply to be molded and made into His image. The Holy Ghost, whose hand we come under, begins to mold and make us into His image, His character, and His likeness, so that the things we begin to do begin to resemble Jesus, and not the old fleshly man, not our wants, our whims, but the person of Christ. Now, a child is a child for several years. So don't look at a person that's been saved a few years and expect them to act like a 20-year-old. I don't look at your 2-year-old and expect him to act like a 30-year-old. Amen? So don't look at some that's saved a few months or possibly a few years and expect them to walk in certain areas that even some a little older are not yet walking in. But I also don't expect a 20-year-old to act like a 2-year-old. Amen? But this is not some overnight sensation. Amen. This is not some little overnight miracle. Bam, wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am. And here we are, full-blown Christians, and we just walk in everything. No, we do not. No, ma'am. I've never seen one yet. Amen. I've seen a few come down the pipe that thought they were going to take the world over in the church, and they're going to change the world in a matter of a few weeks. And that lasted about a month, and they finally come to reality, and the dust settled. They realize, my gracious, I'm just glad I'm saved. Amen. It takes some time. It takes some time. But a 20-year-old ought not to act like a 2-year-old. Amen? So, He begins to conform us, to mold us into His nature, His character, and His likeness. Now, let me read this to you. I want to read Romans to you. And I want you to really listen. I'm going to read it in Amplified, so I want you to really listen. You still with me? Are we being conformed? Do you want to be conformed to Jesus? So how are we going to be conformed? We're going to come under the hand of the Holy Ghost. We're going to be conformed as we do what? Yield to the inner witness, as we yield to the prompter. As He says, don't do that, we're going to yield to Him. Not a list of do's and don'ts, but He tells us within. That inner witness says, don't do that, do this. Led of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit, we will not, we shall not, we can't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's shouting round. That's good news. Okay, now here we go. We're going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Now listen to Romans. I'm going to read to you Romans 8. And we're going to start with verse 11. Now, if you don't have an Amplified, just listen. Okay, I want you to listen. I'll read it slow. And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and if you're saved, He does, then He who raised up Christ from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. He says that Spirit will restore you totally. So then, brethren, we are not debtors. We are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature to live a life ruled by the standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. I am not a debtor to the dictates of my flesh. When you were lost, your flesh dictated your life. When I was lost, the flesh dictated my life. Told me what to eat, what to drink, what to smoke, what to curse. That was the dictates of your flesh. But I'm not a debtor to the dictates of my flesh anymore. I do not owe it a thing. I'm not a debtor to it. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body. He said that the body will try to prompt you to do evil things. Anybody? Anybody? Does a body try to prompt you to do evil things? Yes, it does. He said, but if by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. So what is He saying? That as you walk your natural, and I started to say your stinking natural body, because that's just what it is, your natural body will prompt you to do things of the flesh. Amen? He said, but if you will, by the Spirit. Notice this, not by my strength, not by my good works, not by my getting up this morning and saying, I'm going to be a good little boy. I'll fall flat on my face. But the power of the Holy Spirit within me, as the body prompts me to do this, the Holy Ghost is greater, and He says, don't do that, and I obey the promptings of the Spirit, I am habitually putting to death the prompting of the body. Are you with me? Is that simple enough? Is that simple? So who are we going to choose to obey? The lust of the flesh, the slothfulness of the flesh, the overindulgence of the flesh, and then we give ourselves excuses of why we, oh, that's okay, that one does it, that one does worse. Just that. We don't say it out of our mouths, but that's what the flesh says, and here we go. Amen? We shall live. We shall learn how to live this Christian life. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. What's he saying? I don't have to walk around scared to death. I'm going to do this wrong and do that wrong. Are you hearing me? I do not have to live my Christian life. That's why I can live a life of joy and peace. That's why my joy can be unspeakable and full of glory. For I didn't get up this morning scared to death. Some heaviness, some bondage. I'm going to do this wrong and I'm going to do this wrong. No, ma'am. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And when I start to walk up, the Holy Ghost says, no, hallelujah. I don't have to walk in fear that I'm going to do something wrong. I can walk in the Spirit that says, don't do that. I see people walking in fear. I'm going to do that. I've got this. If you're walking in the Spirit, you won't walk in fear. Because the Holy Ghost won't leave you. The Holy Ghost, the prompter, will check you. Are you with me now? Y'all getting this? Amen. The Spirit which you have received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more again in bondage to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit producing sonship in which we cry, Abba, Father. So I don't walk in fear, but the Holy Ghost begins to prompt me and I find that I'm weak in this area, so I just cry out, Father, I need help in this area. That's all you do. And do you think your Heavenly Father is going to sit in heaven idle while His children cry? Oh no. He'll run. He'll run to your rescue. He'll run to you. He'll run to your rescue. The Spirit Himself thus testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. That we are children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His inheritance with Him, sharing His inheritance with Him. If we're His, that means we're going to share His inheritance. We're going to be molded, made into His image. His promises will be a part of ours. We become who He is, His nature, His character. All that is shared with us. Are you with me now? Verse 28, we are assured and know that all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and purpose. That means every time the prompting of the Holy Ghost comes, it's for a divine purpose, for He's molding and conforming you to the image of Christ. For those whom He foreknew, of whom He was aware and loved beforehand, He also destined from the beginning to be molded into the image of His Son and share inwardly His likeness that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He thus foreordained, He also called. Listen to this. Those whom He called, He also justified, made righteous. He put them into right standing with Himself. Those whom He justified, He also glorified, raised them to a heavenly dignity and condition or state of being. What then shall we say to all this? This is what He said we should say. If God be for us, who can be against us? All this is in our favor. All this is to mold and make us in the image of Christ. All this is to conform us to the person of Jesus Christ. If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? And so He's simply saying that all things come to us, to us, and from us, that we may be led of and by the Spirit of God, that we might be molded into His image. He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him freely and graciously give us all other things? What is Paul saying? If you're led of the Spirit and you come to a place of weakness and you cry out, Abba, Father, the prompting of the Holy Ghost will say no, but God will also come and give you what you have need of to grow in that area. If He didn't hold back His Son, is He going to hold back the Spirit? Is He going to hold back the promptings? Is He going to hold back the strength that you need to walk in newness of life and to be conformed to His image? Absolutely not. He will not hold anything back. Nothing. Is that good news? As we come under the discipline and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, He will conform us and mold us and make us to be inwardly like the person of Christ. And this happens to all those. This happens to all those that come into the school of Christ. Every person that chooses to come into the school of Christ, this is what happens to them. That's what happened to Peter. We'll talk about this Thursday. This is where we pick up Thursday. That's what happened to Peter. He chose to be girded and led by another. John 21, we taught him a few weeks ago. John 21, he was girded and led by another. And then in 2 Peter, he talked about how he had come under that leading of the Holy Spirit, of how he had received exceeding great and precious promises. And by these, he had received the characteristic and nature of God. He had grown. And he was adding virtue to knowledge, knowledge to love, to patience. He was growing in grace. He was being conformed. That's what will happen to every person that comes into the school of Christ that yields to the Spirit of God. That's good news this morning. That's simple Christianity. That is simple Christianity. You get born again by the Holy Spirit. You come under the hand of the Holy Spirit. He begins to show you Jesus. You get to like this Christ. You start to fall in love with Him. You start to fall in love with Christ. And as you start to fall in love with Him, you say, I want to be like that man. I want to be like Him, but I don't know how. I have the foggiest idea of how to be like Him. You ever said that? Sure you have. I don't know how to be like Him. How do I walk in this? How do I know what to do? Well, you start to pray the best you know how. You start to read your Bible. You go to church. And that inner witness starts to speak to your heart. And these areas you start to walk in that's not right, the Holy Ghost says, don't do that. And you'll know it's Him if you're saved. You'll know it's Him. Don't do that. Don't act that way. Don't talk like that. Don't react. Learn to respond. Don't react. Learn to respond to the situation. You say, but I've got a tough time. Well, we all have tough times in our lives. Well, you don't understand. There's all of us can stand up today and say, somebody don't understand something I'm going through. But He does. He does. And I come under His hand. He begins to conform me to the image of Christ. That's the school of Christ. That's the school that we all can choose to walk in. And we begin to grow and mature and put aside the childish things. And we start to look like those men and women of God that God had intended us to be. Now, how many of you, once again, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you want to walk in the simplicity of what you just heard today? The simplicity. Well, isn't that simple? Is anything hard about that? Nothing hard. Except we make it hard when we choose to go with the promptings of the body versus the promptings of the Spirit. And then we make it even harder when we try to convince ourselves that it's all right. Then we start to live there, hearing the Word, and we still haven't dealt with that piece around the altar that's laying on the ground somewhere. Amen? And it lays there for weeks and months until it starts to grow and it starts to affect everything around you. But it's a simple way. Be led of the promptings of the Spirit, and we begin to be conformed to the image of Christ. We take on His nature. We take on His character. In those areas where you used to get angry, you have peace now. Amen. In those areas where you used to be slothful and overindulgent, you're no longer overindulgent in the body. The Bible says some people have made their belly their gods. The Bible says, not pastor, the Bible says that. Overindulgence. And what happens when you start to be prompted of the Spirit, you don't do that anymore. Amen? You don't overindulge in certain areas. And I'm not trying to make a doctrine here out of anything. I'm just giving an example. Isn't it good that we got some inner witness in us? Isn't it nice to prompt us behind the curtain? Isn't it good to prompt us behind the curtain? I got a prompter behind my curtain, Mr. Leon. Rick, Mr. Evan, I got a prompter behind my curtain. Amen. And over these last 20 years, His voice has been real still sometimes. And there's been times He's got real loud. There's been a still voice sometimes. And sometimes He shook like an earthquake. But He never once left me. And He's always tried to speak to me and say, son, don't walk this way. Walk that way. Sometimes we're hard-headed. Sometimes it takes us some time to learn. But He's right there, teaching, leading, guiding, prompting until we get it. Amen. Thank God for the prompter that conforms us to the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's stand. Praise God.